Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, October 1, 2023, Romans.
The old Matt back here, he used to sit over here, and then he said now he wanted to sit on the positive side over here. And singing those hymns with Sandy Patty, and I expect all of you to sing like that. I hit a couple of those notes one time when I was hunting. I got caught on an electrified fence. Debbie's dad would come here, and when I had Sandy Patty singing the hymn, he would turn and go, "Whew, oh boy, that was something." Also, if you wouldn't mind, I would appreciate it if you would pray for our piano player, Danielle. She has gone through some health issues here, and really pray for her, because when she's not here, we have to sing a cappella. Which means we, as it is, we make, the Bible says, make a joyful noise as unto the Lord. We definitely got the noise part down. But she has not been able to be here the last couple Sundays, and she's pretty much under the weather. I would go over there, except I lost the gift of healing a long time ago. In fact, I never had it, tell you the truth. And so, Danielle, we are so blessed in this church to have Danielle play the piano. She is the best piano player in the city of Las Vegas, in the state of Nevada, west of the Mississippi, east of the Mississippi, south of the Mississippi. We are so blessed to have her here at Upland Bible Church. She's fantastic. I feel sorry for some of you. She was in all of these contests all throughout the city of Las Vegas, competing against all other players. She won first prize everywhere she went. First place, first prize. She is fantastic. Now she's in college and she's still pursuing music and doing a phenomenal job. If you'll open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 6, the greatest chapter in the Word of God, and specifically the New Testament Scriptures, on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. It's never found in the Old Testament because there was no baptism of the Spirit in the Old Testament. We live in a unique dispensation, and you are an enlightened congregation. You understand dispensations, the divine outline of history. We are living in the church age, began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. And this is the most unique dispensation in all of human history because we're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. In the Old Testament, the attack of Satan was on the line of Christ and then at the first advent on Jesus Christ himself. But Jesus Christ isn't here. Through the resurrection, ascension, and session, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And now, in the church age, he's calling out a royal family of God. He's the head, we are the body. So now Satan's attack has shifted. It's no longer on the line of Christ, Christ has come. It's no longer on Christ himself. He has been resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ. Every church age believer makes up the body of Jesus Christ. So for the first time in all of human history, Satan's attacking you. You. And that means God in his amazing grace has provided for us the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. That never happened before in human history. There was the endowment of the Spirit for a few people you could count on your fingers and toes to carry out a specific task, but no indwelling of the Spirit. In the church age, every believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, to be empowered by God the Holy Spirit. In this dispensation, we have been given a unique spiritual life that only operates by the power of the Spirit of God. And you all in this congregation, you understand that this unique spiritual life can only be lived by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have been given commands. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Which means keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Because the word to fill is plerao. It was used of wind that fills a sail of a ship and empowers it and sends it through the water. So when it says keep on being filled with the Spirit, it's keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit. And then the mandate, Galatians 5:16, walk or live your life by the power of the Spirit. And then you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And then we're given prohibitions. Stop grieving the Spirit. Another prohibition. Stop quenching the Spirit. All the way through in this dispensation, the spotlight is on God, the Holy Spirit. And yet, we have a lot of Christians in America, and sad to say, they're not living by the power of the Spirit of God. They're not living the spiritual life. They're living by human energy of the flesh. Human energy of the flesh. And you know what? They're full of human good and evil. And we know what about that. That goes all the way back to the garden. In the garden, God created, Jesus Christ created all of these trees, and he said for Adam and Esau, of all these trees you're free to eat and enjoy, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of that, dying spiritual death, you will die physical death. Well, Esau was deceived, and she, by the serpent, she ate and she died. And then she went over to Adam, her husband, and said, here, you ought to try this. And he knew exactly, she was deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. He took it and he ate and he died. Good and evil. And you see, oh, we got fundies out there going, oh, watch out for sin. Watch out for sin. Watch out for sin. What they ought to be watching out for is human good and evil, because they're full of it. That is their life. Human good and evil. They're operating by the energy of the flesh. There is no spiritual life. There is no filling of the Spirit. There is no living by the power of the Spirit. They're just human energy of the flesh. Human good and evil. And oh, and this is the fundy crowd all throughout America. And they are losers, reversionists. They are the problem in America. We stop teaching our Bible and stop studying the Bible, the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, entire chapter, and then it goes on in chapter 7. We'll go on too in chapter 8. And not to worry, we'll get through all of that unless the rapture occurs today. And the rapture is going to occur. But it's gone. We've gone thousands of years and it hasn't occurred. Paul thought it was going to occur in his day. Never did. And it could still happen in our day. But apart from that, when you look around at America, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see we are in deep, deep trouble. I was in with my the best cardiologist in the city of Las Vegas, Dr. Charles Ruggieroli. Believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a lot of the classes I have on tape, on MP3. I've given it to him. Psalm 23, he has that. Been studying Psalm 23. And every time I come in, he calls me Coach. Good to see you, Coach. And the last time I was in there, I said, Doc, I just want to tell you, thank you for all that you've done for me by way of my health, because the only reason why I'm here is to feed the Lord's sheep. Because the Lord asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. And I said, Doc, I love the Lord so much, and the only reason why I'm here is to feed his sheep. So I want to thank you for all you do. And then he stopped. He says, no, Coach, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all you've done for me. I haven't done anything for him. Well, I did get him onto flaxseed. How about that? Cardiologist. What does he do when you have high cholesterol? Fumble. Scared. Don't scare Magnum like that. Jeez. Bite him. Yeah. Where was I? Flaxseed. Yeah. Well, some of you, a lot of this congregation goes to see him, and he initially told all of you, you need to take statins. And then you told him, can I do what Pastor Olson does? Because he takes flaxseed, and that lowers his cholesterol. So when I went back in after some of you said that, I said, Doc, I have a bone to pick with you. What? Well, I understand some of my congregation coming to see you, they have a little bit of high cholesterol, and you're telling them to get on statins. And they want to take flaxseed like I do and see if that works. I says, Doc, come on now. Your objective, let's do a scientific experiment. Let them take flaxseed. You do blood work every few months. Keep taking that blood work and take a look at it. Now, if their cholesterol comes down, and by the way, my cholesterol came down lower than when I was taking statins. By the way, this is all free. No extra charge on that. My cholesterol dropped farther taking flaxseed, golden flax seed, not the juice in the health food stores and all that crap, golden flax. And you got to take it and grind it up and put it in water and drink it right now because it no benefit if you wait. Well, I said, why don't you do that with my congregation? They'd like to just and do a scientific experiment. Well, the next time I went in, he gets his computer there and he says, is this the stuff that you're taking? I go, yes, it is. He said, well, I noticed that everybody that I said in your congregation to take statins, their cholesterol has come down, every one of them, by taking flaxseed. And so they can keep on taking flaxseed, then you're not going to shoot them or anything, you know. He said, yes. He said, in fact, I'm going to order it. Well, the next time I went in, he sits down, he goes, I'm taking that flaxseed that you said. I said, you are? Great. Well, I'll send you the bill. And he takes it. When I go back and see him, I say, you still taking that flaxseed? He goes, yes. He turned up, yes, I'm taking it. I said, well, all right. I want your stick around because I still got a lot of things here. Romans chapter 6, the greatest chapter in the Word of God, and you're only going to find it in the New Testament scriptures because this is the only dispensation where we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are entered into union, identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and identify with Christ in his resurrection, current positional truth. And that sets up the basis for the newness of life, the unique spiritual life of the church age. And here we got all these Christian fundies who don't know up from down. And they are full of human energy of the flesh and human good and evil. And that summarizes their life. Human good and evil. And they do not honor God. They do not glorify God in any way. This human energy of the flesh. No power of the Spirit of God. No filling of the Spirit. No living by the Spirit. But only human energy of the flesh. And that is why Christianity in America is powerless. Powerless. And you look around, you can see our nation is on the verge of destruction. And every time I see Dr. Ruggieroli, he says, "Coach, what do you think is going on now?" He just did this Friday. What do you think is going on now? I said, "Doc, you ought to know by now. You've listened to enough classes. We are a client nation to God because we are the center for Bible teaching, missionaries going out all over the world. We are as the client nation of God, we have been the client nation of God ever since God established this nation. And when this nation was established, what was the basis of establishment? Christians came here. Christians were being persecuted in Europe. They were being persecuted in Europe for their faith. They came here to have the freedom to worship Jesus Christ apart from persecution. And this nation began with a pivot of mature believers. And God blessed this nation. He blessed it, greater than any nation on the face of the earth. Why? Because of that pivot of mature believers. People looked to God and the Word of God. So what's the problem now? We got lots of Christians, but we've turned away from God. We've turned away from the Word of God. The problem in America is a spiritual problem. And Doc, the only hope is a spiritual solution. This nation, and I'm talking about, well, unbelievers, yeah, they need to believe in Christ as their Savior. But we got lots and lots of Christians. They need to turn back to God and the Word of God. And they need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They need to live by the power of the Spirit of God and not their human energy of the flesh. We got a lot of worthless, powerless, nothingness Christians that life is totally full of human good and evil. Well, that's why Romans 6 is so important, and Romans 7 will be more important, and Romans 8 will be important. And the Lord tarries, we will get through all of that. Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit. Verse 11, Romans 6, verse 11. "So also, on the one hand, you, royal family, you should consider yourself." Now that word there is the Greek word logizomai. Logizomai. And as I pointed out to you last time, in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul uses this over and over and over and over again with the meaning, usually you'll see it in your Bibles, to credit to your account. Credit to your account. Logizomai is the verb for imputation. To credit to your account is to impute. And at the moment that you place your faith in Jesus Christ, in the at that moment, God imputes to you. Well, let's get the cross up here. There's Jesus Christ. You place your faith in Jesus Christ, and the justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. That righteousness, or perfect righteousness, is imputed to us, and God declares us to be righteous. This is justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as royal family, we have another double portion of righteousness, because we are also, at that moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we are also entered into union with Christ and share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, royal family of God, spiritual aristocracy, have a double portion of righteousness. We share the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we have been imputed, logizomai, credited to our account, the perfect righteousness of God and declared righteous. That's all throughout Romans chapter 4, about 20 different times in Romans chapter 4. But that's one meaning of logizomai. The second meaning of logizomai means to think. Damn it, think. And that's how it's used here in Romans 6. So also, on the one hand, you royal family should think. Logizomai. Think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Concentrate on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. Think about what it means to be identified with Christ in His retroactive positional truth, in His death and burial, and current positional truth, in identify with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session. Think about these things. That's how the second use of logizomai means. Think, consider, concentrate on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive and current positional truth. So also, on the one hand, you royal family should think, logizomai, consider yourselves to be dead with reference to the sin nature, retroactive positional truth. Think about this and what this means. But on the other hand, you should consider yourselves, logizomai, to be alive with reference to God in Christ Jesus, current positional truth, union with Christ. Think about what this means. The baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. And then in verses 12 and 13, we have the application. As a result of thinking about the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, concentrating on what it means to be identified with Christ in His in His death and burial, and in His resurrection, ascension, and session. So now in verses 12 and 13, the application, how we experientially live this unique spiritual life given to us, royal family, in the church age. Verse 12 says, therefore, do not let the sin nature go on ruling after salvation in your mortal body, with the result that you go on obeying its lusts, the lust patterns of the sin nature. You see, the trends of the sin nature include sin, human good, and evil. So he says, therefore, do not let the sin nature go on ruling after salvation in your mortal body, with the result that you go on obeying its lusts, the lust patterns of the sin nature, and operating by sin, human good, and evil. As a result of concentrating on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive and current positional truth, verse 12 is a negative command. It's a prohibition for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ living here in the unique dispensation of the church age, and Paul is saying, wake up! This has to stop. After salvation, faith in Christ, the believer has an option regarding the rulership of the sin nature. As a result of the baptism of the Spirit of salvation and retroactive and current positional truth, the rulership and authority of the old sin nature has been broken positionally. Now, experientially, you have an option. Are you going to put yourself back under the rulership and authority of the sin nature? Or are you going to live your life under the rulership and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? To live your life under the rulership and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ demands obeying the mandates of the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, which is the Word of God. It demands living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. It demands obeying the mandate of to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. It means obeying the mandate to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, 2 Peter 3:18. It demands executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, 1 John 2:3-5. It includes the mandate to have Jesus Christ making himself at home in your heart, Ephesians 3:17. And then that brought us to verse 13, and we've exegeted. My sister's name is Judy, and I call her Jude. So I'll tell her that I said exegeted. We have exegeted part of verse 13, and it sounds like this. And stop placing your members under authority to the sin nature as weapons of unrighteousness. But put yourselves under orders, under authority, to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is the result of knowing, concentrating on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth. Now, the key word in verse 13, Romans 6:13, the key word in the King James, it's a stupid word that fundies yell at and tell you, yield. Hell, I've seen people, some minister, somebody says, yield, brother, and he winds up with hemorrhoids because he's straining. Straining so hard, trying to yield. What the hell does yield mean? A terrible translation. Nobody knows. But we have paristemi. P-A-R-I-S-T long E-M-I. Paristemi. Very special word. And I even brought in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. I didn't bring all of it in. There's 9 volumes. But I brought one volume in, volume 5. And it was written by Gerhard Kittel and Gerhard Friedrich. And in pages 837 to 841, they tell us that paristemi is a military word. If you're going to understand paristemi, you have to know that this is a military word. And it means to place yourselves under the command of a superior. Place yourselves under the command of someone. Put yourselves under the orders of someone. That's what it means. So paristemi means you are under the authority of someone else. Paristemi is the way of saying, reporting for duty, sir. And that for you is royal family of God in union with Jesus Christ. He is now our new authority. And every one of you ought to be saying, reporting for duty, sir, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's already given us the orders. He's already given us the mandates. It's the mind of Christ, the Bible, the Word of God. He's already given us the orders. So as you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you simply say, reporting for duty, sir, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The old authority of our life as an unbeliever was the sin nature. But positionally, the authority of the sin nature has been broken. That's retroactive positional truth. And you should have that nailed down by now. So the present imperative of paristemi with the negative metis says, stop doing something that you are currently doing. Our verse, Romans 6:13, says, stop placing your members back under the authority of the sin nature, but place yourself under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through current positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth, we have a new authority. And the new authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all under orders now to the Lord Jesus Christ through current positional truth. Identification with Christ in His resurrection, ascension, and session, we are now in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our new authority, the new authority of the royal family of God. So as believers in Jesus Christ, church-age saints, all of us are under our new authority, and that new authority is the Lord Jesus Christ. And stop placing your members under authority to the sin nature as weapons of unrighteousness, but put yourselves under orders to, under the authority of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The aorist tense of paristemi is a constative aorist, viewing the spiritual life of the church age believer in its entirety. The active voice, the church age believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, obeying the mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ, performs the action of the verb. The imperative mood, this is a command for the entire royal family of God. So, one, putting yourself under orders to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, means obeying the commands, the mandates of the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. Putting yourself under orders to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, means obeying the commands, the mandates of the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. The Word of God is called the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. It's all talking about the same thing, the God-breathed Scriptures. So putting yourselves under order to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, means obeying the commands, the mandates of the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. Two, well, you know this. Anybody here ever served in the military? When your commander says, 10-hut! And you say, nah. Nah, I don't think so. I don't feel like it today. Yeah, right. What do you learn right off the bat in the military? Respect for authority. You learn respect for authority. I was standing at attention. The commander was coming by, and he got to me. I was looking in his eyes. Don't you look at me! You focus! Don't you look at me! Yes, sir. What does that take? Well, it takes something Very simple. It takes humility, respect for authority. The military, you learn that, respect for authority. Yes, sir. So point two, this demands humility. It demands respect for authority. Boy, there's very few Christians that have that today. They're too damn arrogant. They have no respect for authority. No respect for God, no respect for the Word of God, no respect for God's servant who feeds the sheep, God's sheep, the Word of God. They're too damn arrogant today. So this demands humility, respect for authority. First of all, authority, the authority of Jesus Christ. You see, we, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our new authority. Jesus Christ is your authority. Jesus Christ is my authority. Jesus Christ is the new authority of the royal family of God. Now, we have this great military word, paristemi. But it's not the only military word that's used for us, royal family of God. There's another one. This is a great military word describing putting ourselves under the command of Jesus Christ. There's another one. Hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S long O. Hupotasso. Turn over to Ephesians 5. This is a passage on the divine institution of marriage. And hupotasso is used at least three times here in this passage. Ephesians 5:22, the Apostle Paul is addressing wives in marriage, and he says, wives, and then the Greek word is hupotasso. And it means to be subordinate, to be under the authority of. Wives, be subordinate, hupotasso, be under the authority, subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. Hupotasso to your husbands as you as believers subordinate to the authority of the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church hupotassos, here we have it again, as the church hupotassos is subordinate to Christ, so also wives should be hupotassos, subordinate to their wives, to their husbands, in a few things. Is that what it said? No. Who put that in there? I bet Pastor Olson did. In everything. Crap. In everything. Well, so much for women's lib and all the other things that have come down the pike. But some of you ladies are saying, well, why don't we talk something about the husbands? Okay, let's do it. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And where did he do that? He gave himself up for her on the cross. In other words, he willingly took the imputation of the sins of the whole world in his body and the judgment of those sins. He loved us when we were at our worst. He loved us when we were in spiritual death. He loved us when we were totally depraved. And that's how God says husbands are to love their wives. Love your wives when your wives are at their worst, totally depraved, no damn good. This is the mandate for the husbands. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, I think the women got the best deal here. All the women are commanded to do is hupotasso, be subordinate to the authority of the husband. What the husbands are commanded to do is impossible. Impossible apart from the grace and power of God. And when you as believers live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you will have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You will have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. And that means now your personal love for your wife is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. And that means you will treat her and love her with honor, with virtue, with integrity, even when she's at her worst. And that is fantastic. So this demands humility, respect for authority. First of all, authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, the authority of the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. To obey the mandates of the mind of Christ, to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. To obey the mandate of Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. To obey the mandate of Galatians 5:16, live by the power of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Ephesians 4:30, stop grieving the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, stop quenching the Spirit. Notice, what is the emphasis in this dispensation? God the Holy Spirit. You have to understand this dispensation, the church age, the calling out of the royal family of God, the baptism of the Spirit. You have to understand the unique spiritual life that's been given to us, that we're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And this unique spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. And that supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. And that's why we have all these mandates. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. It's always the spotlight is on God the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:3 through 5, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And so humility demands authority, respect for the authority of Jesus Christ, respect for the authority of the mind of Christ, and respect for the authority of the Lord's servant, the pastor teacher who communicates the absolute truth of God's Word. Three, when you are under authority, you must have self-discipline with your humility. When you are under authority, you must have self-discipline with your humility. Four, this self-discipline provides the ability to respond to the orders and commands of the Lord Jesus Christ day after day after day. This self-discipline provides the ability to respond to the orders and mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is the mind of Christ. It's not the mind of Pastor Olson. They're his orders, not my orders. This self-discipline provides the ability to respond to the orders and mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ day after day after day. 5, distraction is the enemy that prevents you from putting yourself under orders to the living and true God, Jesus Christ. Distraction is the enemy that prevents you from putting yourselves under orders to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. 6, the Word of God, the mind of Christ, therefore, must be more important than the air that you breathe. We're under orders to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are His orders? And therefore, the mind of Christ must be more important than the air that you breathe. 7, what Paul is teaching in Romans 6, verse 13, is the same thing that John is teaching in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. What Paul is teaching in Romans 6, 13, is the same thing that John is teaching in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5. In 1 John 2, 3, it says, and by means of this, we know that we have come to know Him. Gnosko, we have developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. If, here's the big condition, if we obey His commands, His mandates. Verse 4, the one who keeps on contending, claiming, maintaining that I know God, I have personal love for God and occupation with Christ, but he does not obey His commands, he does not obey His mandates, he's a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. Verse 5, but if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying His Word, the mandates of God's Word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in his heart. So you see, what Paul is teaching in Romans 6:13 is the same thing that John is teaching 1 John 2, 3 through 5. 8, paristemi declares that SOP for the royal family of God is, first of all, humility. Respect for the authority of Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ, and the servant of Christ who teaches the Word of God. So paristemi declares that SOP for the royal family of God is, first of all, humility. Respect for the authority of God, Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ, and the servant of Christ, the faithful pastor teacher. 9, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills is putting yourself under orders to the Lord Jesus Christ. Living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills is putting yourselves under orders, under the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, and stop placing your members under authority to the sin nature. I mean, you've already been identified with Christ in His death and burial, retroactive positional truth. Positionally, that's over. He's no longer your authority any longer. So stop placing your members under authority to the sin nature as weapons of unrighteousness, but put yourselves under orders, under the command of the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this chapter is so important, and I dare say 99% of Christians don't have a diddle understanding of what the Bible says. They're too damn, well, arrogant, negative. They're full of human energy of the flesh. They're full of human good and evil. We have a nation full of human good and evil. And we're going to hell in a handbasket as a nation. Now, Doc asked me, "How you feeling?" when I went in to see him. I said, "Well, Doc, you've heard that saying, going to hell in a handbasket? I'm going to heaven in a handbasket. My body is falling apart every way it can fall apart. So I'm going to heaven in a handbasket. This is wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. I don't want to even go into everything that's wrong." He said, "Well, tell me something that's going on." "Well, I blew a gasket in my eye." "You what?" "I blew a gasket in my eye." I said, "Well, I all of a sudden saw blood going across my eyes. I got up one morning." He goes, "Well, what was it?" I said, "Well, the retinal specialist said you have a hemorrhage in your eye." And he says, "You got to lower your blood pressure." I said, "Doc, that's impossible. My wife is so good looking. My blood pressure goes up every time I look at her." All right, we'll take our break.